Wake up. Wake up. It's a Friday. It's a cloudy Friday in the Bay. The Niners are getting ready to go to New York for a tilt with the Giants in Jersey. The Jackson Dart must go down show. Damon and I are fired up. It's Halloween. Damon's a little under the weather. What is your favorite freaking candy? How many radio shows will use that one this week or today?
That's terrible.
If you dress up and you're over 50, what does that say about you? We'll talk about it.
It is October 31st, All Hallows Eve. She is here. And let me just tell you, what Halloween means when you are, you know, in your 20s and the amount of parties and the amount of girls who get into it, it is an awful lot of fun. And then in a much different version of fun, you got little kids in costumes, and that is the world of Halloween that I am in. Larry, I hope you will forgive me, because at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'm putting on a full chicken outfit and I'm going to an elementary school dressed as a chicken. I think if you're 50, making your kids happy, you can wear a costume. Otherwise, we might have to have a talk.
Yeah, well, if your kids are that little and you're 50, you waited a while to have them. So you might as well enjoy them. But I would say Halloween, happy Halloween to everybody. It is amazing what Halloween has become, by the way. I mean, there are Halloween stores, like year-round stores. There are people, I saw people trick-or-treating last weekend in Walnut Creek, people trick-or-treating. But it is funny how it's gone from, you know, kind of a wholesome holiday, you know, where you met your neighbors and you walked around and got candy and this and that, to now it's like kind of like mom and dad with the beer or wine crawl walking through the neighborhood. Everybody's got some booze they're working on, it seems like.
Larry, we got a tube. Okay. A tube on our side of our house that we put up every Halloween. This is the one thing that COVID that we invented that stayed. The tube of treats is a hit. Kids put their bag of candy. We shoot candy down the tube. And it fits perfectly, a 12-ounce can of beer for dad, little high noon for mom. We are basically an operating candy and bar from our front porch here on Halloween. So it's an awful lot of fun. San Francisco is a great Halloween city. It's a shame the Castro doesn't go off like it quite used to, because that shit was crazy, dude. Oh, my God. Some of the things you would see down there are not for kids.
But San Francisco is a good Halloween city. It's good to know. What I was going to say is that it's a holiday that's different for different ages. You know, when you're a little kid, it's like, candy? Are you kidding me? And then when you're like a teenager, you start being, you know, you're egging things and you're shaving cream things. And you're like a little 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, like, you know, running around with your little hoodlum buddies. Then college, and it's like, oh, my goodness.
Physical candy.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Candy becomes physical candy.
All of a sudden, you know, every girl wants to be the naughty nurse. When I was in college, Damon, the excuse was, it's like, hey, you just look hot. What are you? I'm a Robert Palmer girl. Do you remember Robert Palmer?
Simply irresistible.
Yeah, the girls in the background, you know, little left, little to the right. And, you know, the girls would dress up. I mean, it was a good look. Anyway, now I'm at a point where I will be giving out the candy as people come trick-or-treating. So good luck to all of you. All I would say is, and I say this every year, but I do mean this, Halloween, it's at a time of the year. It's always this weekend when they change the clocks and there's all this fall glare. Just, I don't know about you, but for me, I don't see that well sometimes at night in the fall. For some reason, that just, you just don't see that well. Be really careful tonight. If you're driving around, drive slow. There's a lot of little kids running around in dark costumes. And, you know, let's try to not run over the kids. Don't hit the kids.
I mean, it's good advice any day of the year. Twice as good.
Especially on Halloween. special. Don't run over those little goblins.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Thank you so much for being here. It's great to see you once again. We are obviously here to talk some football, and we're going to hop in. But happy Halloween again, everybody. Go have a good, safe time tonight. Happy birthday, if you don't mind me saying, Larry, to my sponsor, Ike. And I don't mean it's Ike's physical birthday. Ike's physical birthday is in March, but he opened up his very first Ike's in the Castro on Halloween 18 years ago today. So happy birthday to Ike. Everyone, if you are thinking about a really great sandwich to help you get through all this candy a little bit later on, look at Ike's for Ike's Catering for your office. I would love you to check that out. It is going to make everybody in your office happy. Hopefully you live in an Ike's delivery area. And I'm sure that our friends at the Dubliner West Portal are going to be going off tonight. Halloween's always a great bar night. So everybody go out there, have fun, take care of Ike, take care of the Dubliner West Portal. And, you know, I could use a pig and or a pickle.
Well, I was going to say, right, tonight is a huge night for Pig and a Pickle. So lots of people, you know what, you know, Damon and Mary, Pig and a Pickle, best barbecue in Northern California. They're in Corte Madera. They're in Emeryville. Tonight's a great night to order a bunch of barbecue and, you know, kind of host the night. You know, you got people coming and going, and who doesn't want, I mean, someone walks into your house. Do you want to say, hey, you know, I got nothing? Or do you want to say, hey, we have a catered dinner here from Pig and a Pickle. We have barbecue ribs, chicken. We have ribs. We have brisket. We have, you know, what would you, homemade potato salad? What, you know, macaroni and cheese? What would you like some barbecue? Right then, you're going to have a new friend for life. So anyway, check them out. But Pig and a Pickle, best barbecue in Northern California. And they're in Corte Madera and Emeryville. They're open 7 days a week. So tonight is a great night to grab yourself some BBQ and get out there and host a great night and enjoy your family. We should also tell you 49er football this season is presented by Sleeper, fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. One-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and, of course, Sleeper picks for daily fantasy. So use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit up to $100. Links in the description. Terms and conditions do apply. And I've been killing it on Sleeper, and people have been sending me their lineups saying, man, Krug, I've been killing it on Sleeper as well. So it's easy. It's an easy way to make money. And check it out. The link's in the description. Thanks to Sleeper for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show.
I'm here in the home studio. Levi Larry's is the version of Kruger we get today here on Wake Up. So you were down all week long. And tell me about your first impressions of Keon White, the move that John Lynch decides to make, the trade that I think is just absolutely shopping in the right aisle for the right grocery that they need. It's, you know, this isn't the big move, and there could still maybe be a big move before the trade deadline, but I don't really think there's going to be. I think this is an appropriate move. I think this is an appropriate decision for the 49ers to make. Obviously, Cleveland Farrell gets added to the practice squad. I mean, shit, I would call him up. I'd have him dressed and ready to go in New York if I were the 49ers. But
they're going Keon,
good. Keon White is the new name in the building. Larry, what do you think?
I think it's a good fit. I think you're right. Absolutely right. It's the price was right. You move from the 7th round to the 6th round, you know, and there's a lot of people asking, you know, well, you know, it's funny. They always say a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. And that's what a lot of football fans are armed with sometimes, is a little bit of knowledge. And they do have a little bit of knowledge, and their little bit of knowledge is that, well, this guy fell out of Vrabel's rotation. He must suck. And so I've gotten a lot of these kinds of responses. Well, dude, Krug, if this guy could play, you think Vrabel would be getting rid of him? And all I would say to you guys is just that defensive line play is very, very specific. And some guys are very scheme versatile and some guys aren't. Basically, I'll just give you the quick 30 seconds on why this is a good fit for the Niners and a bad fit for the Patriots. The Patriots run a 3-4 defense, and their down three linemen are all two gapper types. They're just pluggers. They're stripe on a stripe, both gaps. And the guys, you know, true two gappers in every sense of the word. That's what they want. They want big, clogging, heavy, broad defensive tackles that can take on multiple blocks and free up their outside linebackers and their inside linebackers to run and hit and hunt quarterbacks off the edges and hunt running backs in the middle. Right. That's the
They're plan. Looking for Alfred Collins body types.
Yeah. I mean, CJ, they're looking for a big 300 in an ideal world. They've got three guys that are all about 310 to 320, right? That's what they're looking for. Okay. At the down three spots. And then the stand-up outside linebackers, they're looking for guys 230, 240, 245 who can drop and cover and have that versatility to rush or drop and cover. So those are the two spots they have. Big, thick, clogging two-gappers and outside linebackers. Keon White's neither. Keon White is a power rusher who's 280 pounds. At times, he's been up as high as 290. He's 280 pounds right now, roughly. And he's much more fit for the Niners scheme, which is just get up the field and wreak havoc and do it in. Sometimes you're going to be lined up inside. Sometimes you're going to be lined up outside. Sometimes you're going to be lined up outside and you're going to take two steps and stunt back inside. Sometimes you're going to be lined up inside. You're going to take a couple steps and stunt to the corner. So he's an upfield athlete who's basically just a jumbo, like he's a jumbo defensive end. So he's like, instead of being 265, he's 280, but he's a defensive end body type. He's an angular. He's not a two gapper and he's not a drop and cover outside linebacker. So that's just what happened there.
Well, that's, they changed
their scheme. He doesn't fit their scheme. There you go.
Yeah. Look, after what you've seen from Bryce Huff, and I'm not saying Keon White here is Bryce Huff, but you've seen, you know, odd fit another place, right fit this place. So right.
Vic Fangio is a pretty good coach too. And he said goodbye to Bryce Huff. It's not because Vic Fangio is suddenly an idiot or that Bryce Huff suddenly a bust. And there were a lot of people back at ESPN and back East where a lot of the Northeast media runs the media in this country that because Huff struggled in Philly and had been with the Jets, it was like, oh, we know this guy can't play. And it's like, well, wait a second. He's not old. He fits this scheme. It was a great ad on draft day. And to me, it was kind of an arrogant move by Roseman because it's like, dude, really? You're going to give the 49ers a team that could easily take you down at some point?
You know what, Larry? They don't do that. They don't do that without a Lombardi trophy, right? That's the kind of deal that makes you think.
We won the Super Bowl, and they're like, we're badass.
Yeah, we know what we were doing. We fear no one. We're champions. Right. As I see the 49ers approaching this week, you know, I remember last week I rubbed a few people the wrong way when I said, look, they lose in Houston, I'm not going to be mad. They lose in New York, I think you should be a little bit mad. But I will say, this is yet another, and hopefully, Larry, the last of its kind on the schedule for the 49ers. Now, this is wishful thinking, because going through a game uninjured, especially at MetLife, is always a, you know, say a prayer, hope that happens. But it feels like this should be the final, I'm hoping anyways, one of the last just survival mode games that the 49ers have been in now for about a month. They're in survival mode right here. They're just trying to tread water to get through these injuries until they have a few more cavalry coming in. I really like the fact that John Lynch did something to address the utter lack of pressure that was being put down by this defensive line before they got to New York. It was a problem in Houston. It was going to be a problem in New York, and it might be. Let's see what Keon White does. You know, I mean, if he gets a pressure, if he hits Jackson Dart once, one is more than zero, and that's how often C.J. Stroud got hit last week. So, you can't get worse. You literally cannot get worse pressuring a quarterback than what they were in Houston. So I'm glad that they made a move. Just go get the job done. This isn't about style points. This isn't about stats. This isn't about compiling a resume for anybody to be a Pro Bowler or considered, elite at a position. I don't care. Just win the game. That's all this is. This is a slightly talented here and there, getting, I guess, a little bit more interesting, but the Scataboo injury is devastating to them. No Malik Nabers. This is an eminently beatable New York Giants team. Just go handle your business. That's all I want this week. Just if the 49ers win 2-0, I'm ready to have parade go up Market Street, Larry. 2-0 safety victory. Sounds good to me. I'll buy it right now if you're willing to sell it to me. 2-0
Well, I mean, Niners, come on. I mean, the Niners are so far beyond hoping for stylistic success. I mean, they've been in a just win baby mode this whole season. I mean, it's not going to be pretty. To me, this game's a very interesting game. It's an interesting game from the perspective of, hold on a second. Let me turn the monitor down here.
Somebody got excited, Larry. Somebody got excited on a channel behind you there and started talking. Listen to this. I feel like we're being let in on exclusive production meetings.
Oh, I know. There's a studio monitor, so I'm in the studio today. The great Greg Silver and Tim Ryan are doing the football hour down here, and Tim Ryan's camped out down Santa Clara with the Niners, so that's why Greg's down here. So normally I'm in the other room in the studio, but I'm in the control room today. Either way, it's the same deal. What were we saying just then, Damon? I'm sorry.
No, it was okay. I just said this is, style points mean nothing here. Fantasy
points mean nothing. Oh, yeah.
This is a straight up, just get on an airplane, get a win, get back to Santa Clara as fast as possible with as little injury as you got.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be very interesting from the standpoint of, look at this Giants defense. They are, on one hand, I could say, dude, this D-line's got Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, and be like, whoa, they sound scary. And yeah, when they rush the passer and they can rush the passer and get a lead in the second half, they could be scary. But they're also 30th against the run. And if you look at some of the key metrics, and I wrote this down because I thought this was kind of interesting. The New York Giants defense, yards per carry allowed in the NFL, 32nd. That's last. EPA per rush allowed, 32nd. That also remains last. And success rate allowed rushing, 32nd. That's last. So
yeah.
Run the freaking ball.
Yeah.
Run Christian McCaffrey. Run Brian Robinson. If the Niners can't run at this shitbird New York Giants run defense that has Darius Muasau and Bobby Okereke in the middle, then they ain't going anywhere. So run the freaking ball in this game and take the pressure off your quarterback. Take the pressure off your defense. Start acknowledge, Shanahan needs to help out, his defense here. Play complimentary ball. Your defense is not the same defense that you started the year with. You have no Bosa. You have no Warner. You have no Huff. Keon White's going to help. Clee Farrell's going to help, but they're not a premier addition. So you're not the same defense you were. Run the ball. This is the worst run defense in the league. Run the ball. This has got to be a Brian Robinson goes off day. He's got to have 100 yards in this game. Run the ball with both your guys. And if you want to use Garendo, use Garendo too. Run the ball. Do not get into, Mac Jones taking 7-step drops behind a questionable offensive line and watching Colton McKivitz just get worked by Kayvon Thibodeau as you refuse to chip anybody. And it's run the ball. Did I make myself clear?
I think you did. And I'm going to build on that. I want to see Mac Jones under center. He's been under center a lot this season, and I want to see some play action. This team needs to sell out to stop a run. Again, they're 32nd. So catch them biting. Catch them biting hard with some play action passes. It felt like those used to be the centerpiece of everything that made the 49ers offense go. And they're further and farther between than I think should be. So set up the pass for sure with the run. And as you were saying, Larry, the New York Giants got a few more big names and they got big production on that defense, and it really doesn't add up. And if you're Shane Bowen, who is the defensive coordinator of the New York Giants, you got to be a little frustrated with the way that your unit's performing out there.
Did you ever see the Hard Knocks? Did you watch the Hard Knocks on the Giants where Dable was outing Bowen?
So I saw the off-season one, and I don't know if I saw that episode. Okay.
That's the off-season one. That's what I'm talking about. There was a scene in there where Dayball's got his phone, and he's going up to Shane, and he's like, look at this guy, man. And he's talking about Bowen, and he's like, look, they're top five against the run. They're top five against the pass. They're top five in takeaways. They're top. And he's like showing him stats off his phone, you know, and it's just, I was talking to one of the New York Giants beat writers from The Athletic earlier this week, and they got so much traction off of that. That Dable and Shane were done so much damage by that thing. It made them look like clowns, total clowns, the way they handled Saquon Barkley, the way they dealt with John Mara, the way they literally, the way Shane was prepped by his PR guy, the way Dable was looking at his phone, you know, talking about stats of free agents and coaches, like he's like pulling it off of Twitter or something. It reeked of amateur hour.
So Larry, what happened there was it all
exposed is what happened.
It looked bad in real time as you were watching it, but then this is a results-based business. So let's see then the season that comes after this Giants offseason hard knocks. Then the season that comes after it is basically a sequence of shaving cream pies to the face based on every decision that was documented on Hard Knocks.
Well, so then they're all in on Daniel Jones, but they get nothing out of him. They kiss off Saquon Barkley. He becomes the MVP in Philly and wins a ring. You know, your owner says, please just don't let him go to Philly. He goes to Philly. I mean, it was just,
I'm not going to feel good about this. He's the whole team.
Oh my God. I mean, Joe Shane and Brian Dable, I thought just looked really, really bad.
Look, all I can tell you is that there's a lot to point at when you look at the 49ers and the front office and Shanahan and all this time we spent together. It's been like a marriage. You know, when you're a marriage, you will find things that annoy, you know, the your partner does that just annoys you, whether it's working or not. The best marriage in the world still has the, God damn it, factor in it. And so a lot of fans in the chat.
What are you trying to say, Damon?
A lot of
you guys going to, are you seeking counseling here on Halloween?
Everything's great. But like,
everything's okay.
Here's the thing. Fans in the chat, stop by later and just make sure. Fans in the chat think that they're in a little bit of a rocky relationship because of the inability to get things done or make the right choices. And, you know, you got some things to point out if you're a 49er fan. Look around this league. If you want to see incompetence, if you want to see what really bad coaching, if you want to see what really losing the locker room looks like, if you want to see what, hey, this guy has no idea how to put a team on a field or coach it or any, there are examples everywhere of that is poorly
run. Damon, you're bad for the show right now. I mean, do not stop giving all this meaningful perspective and balance.
I'm sorry.
We want to live in our echo chamber and wallow in our misery. Stop robbing us of it.
I'm sorry. I thought we would sell a little illumination, not just anger.
No perspective. Anytime you get too much perspective, it's bad for sports radio.
Can I just give you something? Can I ruin the illusion and the magic act right here? Think about how frustrated you are with the 49ers at all. The whole thing. Josh Dubow cooked this one up this morning, and it was just, oh, like this. JT the Brick must roll out of bed every morning and just hit himself in the head with a fucking hammer, Larry. Listen, Mark Davis fired Josh McDaniel 2 years ago today, Halloween. October 31st, 2 years ago today. 2 years ago today, Mark Davis fires Josh McDaniels. The Raiders had a 360 winning percentage with Josh McDaniels. Since that firing, their winning percentage has fallen to 333. That's bad ownership. That's incompetence. That's negligence baked into every single layer of the cake. I mean, the 49ers are the French laundry compared to that gruel that gets served everywhere in this league, especially in Las Vegas right now. But I mean, the Niners
that's all good and well. And yes, it's true. But Let me inject in my own perspective here.
Okay.
The 49ers haven't won a Super Bowl since February of 1995.
I hear there's
people that are walking around who have kids of their own who've never seen the 49ers, an iconic franchise, win a Super Bowl, and they're getting tired of it. They got their chops, you know, they got their beak wet a little bit in the Harbaugh era. They got their beak wet a little bit in this era. And now they're all charged up. The Niners, you see it. The Niners nation travels on the road. The fan base is incredible. Heck, I mean, you know, just the 49er YouTube crowd. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, going to New Orleans and standing there, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, I mean, you got people who are like, hey, I watch your show. 49ers are big. The 49ers. Yeah. Everything they do gets noticed. Everything that they do is scrutinized. That's the good. That's the upside, downside, whatever. That's their reality. And so there are expectations. And right now they don't look like they're meeting those expectations. And there's a lot of frustrated people. So I totally get where people are at. I also get what you're saying that, hey, look, have a little perspective. You know, it's kind of like the offensive line discussion. The Niners offensive line sucks. Well, there's no doubt the Niners offensive line is challenged. We just saw it last week up close and personal. Houston totally dominated. Will Anderson ate Colton McKivitz's lunch, and the interior guys were worse. So, I mean, that's the Niners reality. But, you know, there are a lot of bad offensive lines around football, and there are not a lot of good offensive line men on the street anywhere. So you don't even hear – you know, anybody saying, well, get this guy, get that guy. There's nobody to get, you know what I mean? The 49ers have been talking about committing to rebuilding this offensive line, but they have to actually do it. And that means committing, you know, draft capital to it. And they haven't done that. And now I think they're paying the price for that decision. So there's a lot of frustrated people. I think Niner fans have it in perspective. This is a huge game though, Damon, you're absolutely right. This game could go one of two ways. If the Niners can run the ball, it could be a total domination. Niners go there and win 28-6, and it's a domination. Or if the Niners can't run the ball, and now it's that New York Giant awesome pass rushing line against this really questionable 49er pass blocking unit, it could be, you know, the 49ers losing 27-13. And to me, Damon, I will say it right now for everybody to hear. This game defines their year. If they kick ass, they're going to have a big, big run here in the second half. If they struggle and barely get by in a win, they're going to have a decent, you know,
right. It'll be whatever.
This game will serve as a barometer and a measuring stick and an indicator of what the rest of the year is going to be. If they get their doors blown off by this New York Giants team, then they probably should sell a piece or two at the deadline and start packing it in, because you ain't going anywhere if you lose this game big.
I think it's it's the old Yogi Berra. When you get to the fork in the road, take it. This is a fork in the road game in terms of the overall. Where does this go? How does this year feel? I mean, yeah, there's a part of me that subscribes to that. I will also tell you that what I see one week doesn't even affect what we're going to see next week. And I'm seeing that all over this league all the time. And maybe that's a hallmark of bad teams, and consistent production week after week after week is now the hallmark of a good team. But again, I've seen really good teams look bad one week and then find their footing the next week. Stack the wins. That's all you can do. Biggest worries in this game, Larry. I mean, chief among them is just the MetLife graveyard, is it not? I mean, for a team that is more injured, did you see our good friend? I think you're going to do
first of all, it's not even the same turf. For people who are like going to go off on this narrative, don't, because it's not even the same turf. They've replaced the turf that Nick Bosa got hurt on. This is not the same turf.
It's a different turf.
It's the same old dilapidated stadium, but I think you're going to find that the field conditions at MetLife are better, significantly better than they were when Bosa got hurt.
But it just feels like there's a lot of injuries that occur on that field. It was, I think a lot of people were surprised to see the Cam Scataboo injury actually happened in Philadelphia on a grass field, not the turf.
It's football, man. I mean, right. Guys dislocate their ankles.
Did you see our good friend Chase Sr., who I think you're going to be doing a show with? You know, he's just looking for answers. He's just like spitballing. And
about
and
the whole like, thing about the electric thing.
Yeah. And it's EM, you know, electromagnetic signal. Maybe, I don't know. How long would the 49ers been practicing next to that?
The Niners, let me check. I love Chase. Chase is awesome. I think he's one of the, he's a force of nature. He's a great dude.
Great guy.
And people who rip him, it's like, get a grip.
Here's the thing. I don't care. We're just spitballing. And then he basically said, I'm just spitballing. Spitballing.
But let me spit on his spitballing. The Niners have been here since they left Redwood City.
Rockland, right?
Rockland is where they train for training camp. And then they went to Stockton. And then they came to, you know, now they do training camp at home.
Right.
But the Niners have been in Santa Clara since the late 80s.
Right. It's been 30, 40 years.
They were not hurt for a long time. They were not the most injured team. This is a relatively new phenomenon. So what happened and that everything that was there that he's pointing to there was there in the 80s.
Right.
The electrical stuff predates the building of the practice facility. So Damon believed that, and he's on the record of saying this, and you can go look it up, that he believes that Dwight Clark's situation may have been directly related to the Redwood City practice location and where, you know, what was around that location, that there may be something to that, because there are other examples of people that got ill and were, you know, gravely ill because of that were there in Redwood City. Now that I'm not making these claims, but I know Eddie D in the past has. As far as Santa Clara, I think it's interesting, but I don't think there's anything there.
No, I don't think there's anything to it either. But when you're trying to explain what does feel inexplicable, you know, it does feel like, you know, every team in football has their who's hurt ratio, and it goes up as the season goes along because that's the price that is asked of this league on players' bodies. But, oh, my God, are the 49ers sent a bigger injury bill than every team every month by the NFL? It really does feel that way.
Well, I mean, there's other factors. I mean, give you an example. The Niners like to run the ball, and they also, you know, they practice hard, and they, you know, they like speed backs who can get to the edges in the outside zone. I mean, if you're going for the Raheem Mosterts of the world, guys who run upright and have tremendous speed, yeah, those guys are going to get rocked and they're going to get hurt. So I think there's something, you know, there's something to be said for what kind of scheme do you run? What kind of practice schedule do you have? At the end of the day, I think it's, you know, I mean, I'm not shitting on you, but I just think it's kind of like one of those topics that's like, you know, I hate the line, it is what it is, but I think it's kind of appropriate for that topic.
Yeah, I mean, again,
I don't know. I don't know if anybody's got a genius theory. I'm all ears. And I think the Niners are all ears at this point, too. But, you know, the only thing I would say different about, you know, the only thing I would maybe consider is maybe, Damon, the Niners philosophy of, you know, we need to build calluses is maybe an outdated pre-salary cap kind of a thinking, and maybe the Sean McVay thinking of I'll make up excuses and lie, and I'll do anything I've got to do to just not put my money on the field until week one. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe the Niners ought to take a book out of McVay's playbook and just say, you know what? Nobody worth a damn is going to do anything until it matters. That's what the Rams do. I don't know if they're better or worse. I mean, it seems like they've got a ring. I don't know if you can say anything more about their injuries. They're pretty injured too, but that's their philosophy. No preseason for Stafford, no preseason for Stars at all. Where the Niners kind of believe in, you got to build up those calluses to play football. I think that might be a little bit of a dated old thinking. And that really in the era where it's like hard cap sport, you only have so much money to spend. And when the guys go down, you don't have an endless ability to just replace them. It's not college football. I think you better value your guys as much as possible and then subject them to as little violence as possible So maybe they ought to adjust there, Damon. Maybe they ought to lighten up on Thursdays and lighten up in training camp and not bang heads as much as they do. I'm not saying they're doing the Mike Singletary, you know, let's do the Oklahoma drill,
right?
But you know, the Niners are a physical football team and they kind of pride themselves on being a very physical, hard hitting group. And when you're physical and hard hitting, there's going to be, a reciprocal cost, and it comes in the form of injury.
A physical hard hit, which left him with a wonky knee, is the reason why we haven't seen Ricky Pearsall back in practice. What, limited? Did he actually, it was a full participant? Did he start limited, go full? Is he playing on Sunday? Is Ricky Pearsall back this week? Not playing on Sunday?
No, he's not playing on Sunday.
So that might... Okay.
I don't think Purdy's going to play. I asked yesterday Kubiak, I said, who's going to play quarterback? And the first thing he said is Brock's looking good. So, but then Mac did the presser and Brock was limited at practice and Mac was not. So I think Mac's going to start at quarterback. As far as Pearsall, I don't think is ready to come back. You know, I mean, Lynch went on KMBR yesterday and he said, hey, these PCL things are tricky and they're hard to recover from. And so, yeah, he's not going to be there this week.
Well, then that brings my attention to Juwan Jennings. Because, you know, here's a guy who's just sort of at a crossroads, I think, in his 49ers career, to the point where Shanahan even had to say something as bold as, like, I think he'll be here for the rest of the year, because trading him just to get rid of him is sort of like a direction some 49ers fans have wanted to see this team march in. And I got to tell you, he has been hard to find in terms of helpful or productive on a football field. Injured, dobbered down, mentally not there anymore, angry at the team, angry at his reps, angry at his targets. Are we going to find the cord for Juwan Jennings? Is this guy going to get back into the business of helping the 49ers win football games?
No doubt. No doubt he is. You know, all this is the one area where I feel like I almost want to shout at the fans a little bit and be like, dude, really? Anybody who's a Niner fan for more than a year knows that Juwan Jennings is a big time player. He's a money player. You put the money on the table, he's going to show up. Super Bowl, who showed up? Did Debo show up? Did Ayuk show up? Or did JJ show up? It was JJ who showed up. So he shows up in big games. And we all should respect him at the top level for that. I mean, that's what it all matters. It's like,
but then it turned into Mr. $20 million. And then he's not producing. Like,
I know, but you play to win the Super Bowl. And then, you know, if you want guys who are going to play well in the Super Bowl. So I got great respect for him, but I think Niner fans did as well. This week, I've got multiple people suggesting that Juwan Jennings is, you know, quitting on the team and gambling on the sport and intentionally dropping passes. And it's like, people have made the most ridiculous claims. It's like, is this guy all about the W, or do you really believe he's not trying to his hardest to, and he's, or he's, you know, I know the gambling thing has gotten around in the NBA, but I mean, immediately people are like, oh,
there has
Juwan
never
been- Jennings is taking cash. It's like, people,
right?
Relax. Everybody needs to relax. He's hurt. He's been hurt. There was a rumor that said that he was going to be traded. That's why the question came up. And Shanahan put it to rest. He said, I think he's going to be here the rest of the year. So that put that whole, I think it was a Fowler story. Jeremy Fowler had it that the Niners may trade him. That put that to rest, or didn't, if he gets traded between now and the deadline. I don't think he's going to be traded, Damon, because he means more to them than there's two issues here. He's not worth the money that he wants long term, but he means more to them than they could get in a trade. So why would you trade him?
That's the thing. They're just, you can't give away from a position you're already shallow at. You know, you're shallow at wide receiver with Juwan Jennings. What are you without him? So you can't do it from that standpoint alone. Plus, you said, like, he is a trusted agent from what he's done in the past, but what he's done this year, though, has not been good. I mean, there was a stat by Josh Dubow just last week that quarterbacks have a better passer rating spiking the football than they do throwing to Juwan Jennings. That's a problem. How can Juwan Jennings figure this out? I mean, where is the disconnect on his end, do you think? Is he that hurt? Is he still dealing with ribs that mean, I, you know, whenever I extend to catch a ball, it hurts so bad?
Dude, this guy, it takes him 5 minutes to put his clothes on because he can't move that well. I mean, this guy's a warrior, man. He's beat up.
So will
he's
we see?
He's got ribs. He's got an ankle. He's got a shoulder. He's got a knee. He's beat up, but he loves to play. He's all there for his teammates. And so I do think, Damon, the question was, is he going to get back in the rhythm? Are they going to get rolling? The Niners at receiver have way underachieved. Ayuk's given him nothing because he's been out. Ricky Pearsall's glass. It hurt all the time. He flashes a little bit of talent and then disappears for a month. JJ has been banged up trying to play through it. Not the same guy. Bourne has had a couple of amazing miracle games, greatest of his career. And now as they're force feeding the ball back to Jennings, he seems like he's out of the flow, but he's got a good rapport with Jones. DeMarcus Robinson had a phenomenal training camp, then a 3-game suspension, and he's just been totally nothing ever since he came back. They have to get DeMarcus Robinson the rock. They got to get him rolling a little bit.
Force feeding DeMarcus Robinson or get Jordan Watkins into his NFL career, whether he wants to be there or not. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? I mean, I don't know what you mean, because he does want to be there. I mean,
okay.
Why would you even say that he doesn't want to be in his career? He's shown nothing.
Like Shanahan.
He has a drop. I mean,
whether Shanahan wants it or not, like playing these guys.
Yeah, I mean, these are your receivers: Jordan Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Sky Moore, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Kendrick Bourne. Make it freaking work.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't want to see no Jordan Watkins in the name of Sky Moore gets this play. Why? Why? What do you owe Sky Moore? The chances of Sky Moore being on this team next year are closer to zero than they are 1%. So let's go ahead and start getting some production out of guys that you think are going to be a part of your present and your future.
This has got to be a big Brian Robinson game. Let's use McCaffrey as a receiver a little bit. Let's get all of our, you got five eligibles. If you're going to leave McKivitz naked against these rushers and put five in the pattern, that's fine. Get your five guys out there that can really make plays. Do not be throwing it to Sky Moore. My God, he's a return guy at best. Use Watkins, use DeMarcus Robinson in the red zone. JJ on some key third downs. You got to start getting, and then use McCaffrey as a receiver. I mean, you don't have the biggest issue with the Niners is when they start turning the ball over, since they don't take the ball away, when they turn it over, it's bad. Okay. When they give up running, rush yards, since they're struggling to rush, it's bad. Any kind of turnover situation is bad because they don't produce turnovers. They can't give up what they can't do. Otherwise it makes it even worse. So they can't run the ball. So they can't let other teams run the ball. They need to dominate the time of possession. The last thing they need to do is have time of possession dominated on them.
Oh.
They need to come up with chunk yard plays. They need to come up with explosives. And instead, they've given up a bunch of explosive. They need to come up with big plays. Instead, they're having busts that cause big plays. So, I mean, they literally need to be much more on their game. After last week, I thought last week was the worst coaching performance I've seen from the 49ers off of one of the best coaching performances against Atlanta. And why do I say that? Because, and I said this to Robert Saleh yesterday, your rush plan and your coverage plan made no sense. They didn't jive. They didn't work together. There was no symbiotic relationship there. You were speeding up the quarterback at a rate that you've never sped him up before. And you played a soft coverage and off coverage and gave the quarterback defined easy looks. And guess what? If you give Jackson Dart defined easy looks, and then combine that with his ability to scramble and run around on third downs and make plays, you're going to lose. So I think this game is either 28-10 49ers and the season's back on the rails and here we go, or this season, this game's 28-10 Giants and it's a funeral dirge in the postgame.
Let's say it's 28-10 Niners. They win. The team plane doesn't fail to take off from LaGuardia and everybody gets to spend the night in the hospital. Like, it's a good day. It's a good day for the 49ers. Even the harshest critic out there would have to say, John Lynch got another trade in him, Larry? Do you think a win in New York changes what they do before the November 4th deadline, or have they done what they're going to do?
I think they've given you, I don't think they've done what they're going to do. I think there's another move to be made, but I think they've also given you, they've been honest. John Lynch is honest when he's not telling lies. He's telling truths. So what do I mean by that? Well, he went on KMBR yesterday on his Thursday, 8 a.m. time slot on the Murph and Marcus show. And he said, hey, they asked him, John, are you going to make more trades? And he's like, well, these are our parameters. We don't want to trade for anybody who's not going to be with us next year, because they know this year could go south. This year could be anything. You don't have Bosa, you don't have Warner, you're not going to get him back. So he doesn't want anybody who's a free agent at the end of the year. He wants somebody who they can be with them this year and next year. That's parameter number one. Parameter number two, according to John Lynch, is he doesn't want to trade a lot of his 2026 draft capital. So they don't have a lot to trade. So what else do you have? If Shanahan's saying JJ's not going to get dealt, and then Lynch is saying he doesn't want to trade his 2026 draft capital, and that's it.
Game over. We have a couple of safeties to play with, right?
What's that? No, maybe they're not going to trade safeties? That. No, they're going to retain their depth there. I have a feeling. They could, but I don't think so, Damon. There have been some reports. I know what you're getting at, because there have been reports about Pinnock and Jair Brown. And I think it's possible, but I don't think it's likely. Matt Barrows and Vic Tafer in The Athletic yesterday put out five trades that the Niners could make. One of them was a fourth round pick to the Falcons for Arnold Ebiketie, the former Penn State outside rusher. That's kind of interesting. A couple of them are trade Garendo, one for Matthew Judon of the Dolphins. I think the other one was to the Titans for Arden Key.
Like to see Arden Key on this team. I would.
Yeah. I mean, this one right here, Jan Schozola, I think this is the perfect guy, Will McDonald. Now, the Jets have three guys. They have Jermaine Johnson. They have Will McDonald, the fourth. And then they also have Michael Clemens. And all of them are fits for the Niners wide nine, and all of them have played with, you know, for Robert Saleh. McDonald and Jermaine Johnson were first round picks when Saleh was the head coach. So Will McDonald, hey, man, Damon, McDonald is the guy.
Brock
they need.
Purdy might be boys, right? He's an Iowa State guy.
Yeah, he might be boys with Brock Purdy, but Will McDonald the fourth, I think, is exactly the kiss that they need. Why? Because the Niners needed multiple pieces. They needed volume, and I think they got that with Keon White and Clee Farrell. They needed an inside-outside guy who can be versatile and line up anywhere, and they think they got that with both Clee and Keon. And they also need that edge-burning difference maker that defensive coordinators worry about, and they don't have that. They have Huff, but they don't have anybody opposite Huff. Will McDonald is a young Huff. And I would say that's the guy. He's 245 pounds. He's not 275. So he's not going to be the awesome edge setter on first and second down. What he is, though, is he's going to make tackles quake in their boots. He's going to keep coordinators up. He's going to make sure that, you know, the Jackson Darts of the world don't just get to run all over you. He's a super fast, twitchy, bendy. He's like Bryce Huff. He can get literally parallel to the ground on his dip and rip. And he's got incredible balance, incredible athleticism. That's the piece to get. probably going to cost you a third round pick. Are they willing to pay the price? I think they should. When you look at their situation, I think a third round pick is not that much. You have Mac Jones probably to trade. You're going to get compensatory picks.
Well, again, who else is putting a third rounder on the table? You can maybe do that for a fourth.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
It's not going to be Trey Hendricks. Let's just get into that. I don't think
the or his son.
Huh?
You said it's not going to be Trey Hendricks. I said son.
No, it's not going to be his kid either. But it's the Bengals will lose their locker room if they do that trade. They just cannot do that. The Bengals can't do that trade, much less any team who wants to do that trade. And like you just said, John Lynch says no one who isn't under contract. So that means it ain't going to be him for sure. Just one or two other things, Larry, before we get into.
This is a dream, by the way, from D's. I think Kalia Davis and Quinnen Williams would be an elite duo. That is the dream. If you say what is the move that would just be like, all right, man, that's fine. I'd be fired up about it. Would be if somehow the Niners cooked up a deal with the Jets and could make that deal for McDonald or Jermaine Johnson or Michael Clemens bigger and get Quinnen Williams. And why do I think it's the right guy? Because they've been trying to find somebody who commands a double team on their D line. Now they lost Bosa. They tried it with Hargrave. They're really hard to find. These are really hard to find guys. Now you can get draft picks up and down for days, and you could take 10, 12 guys before you find somebody who commands double teams. So there are very few difference makers, but like one of the reports going around right now, Damon, is that the Eagles may trade 3 number ones to the Browns for Myles Garrett. Now that makes you go, whoa. So they're going for the difference maker off the edge. Should the Niners look for a difference maker up front? I say abso-fucking-lutely, because look at the 49ers depth chart. The 49ers, let's take a quick gander at their secondary. Renardo Green, young. He was a 2024 draft pick. Jair Brown, young. Malik Mustafa, young. Demo Lenore is still relatively young. Marquis Siegel is a young man. Darrell Luter is a young guy. They've got Upton Stout's a rookie. Siegel's a rookie. They've got a very young secondary. What's going to help a young secondary? A killer rush and some difference makers up front. So I know they want to retain their picks. I know they don't want to, get guys who are rentals. But
I would just say
there's still moves to be made there.
You need the first pack. You need that first pick next year to be the tackle for your future when you drafted Alfred Collins to be your Quinnen Williams. I think they've already invested.
But there's so much. I know what you're saying, but there's so much. Just because you want them to be Quinnen Williams doesn't mean they're going to be Quinnen Williams.
No, I don't think he's going to be.
And the Eagles, I mean, look at the Eagles. Howie Roseman's a great GM. If he really does want Myles Garrett, I mean, that's basically him saying, hey, look, we want a difference maker up front. And, it's like, do you think the Niners, I mean, like, how much potential do you think the 49ers have this year? Now, I don't know the status of Brock Purdy's toe, but if Brock Purdy could get back to being the Brock Purdy I saw in training camp, I think they got a shot in the playoffs. I really do. I think they have a shot to go through and win in the NFC playoffs. Even though they looked really bad last week, I think the 49ers can win in these NFC playoffs.
We still haven't seen the 49ers. I want to remind everyone that week 9? We still haven't seen this team yet.
Yeah.
Not even yet. Not even close. Whatever this team is going to be, we're going to find out in the second half. Because what we saw is just the banged up depth chart laden team that is treading water and has done a hell of a job treading water, all things considered, to get to the point where, like I said, hopefully this week is one of the final survival mode weeks of the season for the 49ers. And they can start getting to who they're going to be should they reach the postseason. But
I want to see them. I want to see them. I know what you're saying because you think maybe Purdy's coming back, but I don't. They've already rushed him back once. Now you've got to side on you've got to take the macro view of his career of this year. I'm holding him out. If he's obviously not ready to play this week. He was limited in practice this week. Part of rehab from turf toe is not practicing in the NFL. And that's what he's doing. So I'm, if they think that's the best route, that's fine. They know better than I do, I guess. But I would say this. If it was me, I don't want to see them go to Purdy back to Jones. When they go back to Purdy, they need to stay with Purdy. Like, when they go back to Purdy, it's time for Purdy to play or get hurt. It's not, you know, he's sore. It's time for Jones. It's all or nothing with Purdy.
Right.
So this is what I would do, Damon. It's week 8 right now, or week 9. Is it week 9? Week 9. The bye is in week 14. The conservative path, and I granted, I'm fully acknowledging it's conservative, but I've talked to doctors about this, and they say this is a injury that is a 2 to 6 week injury. And I said, Doc, when do you feel absolutely confident that you've given it enough rest? He's like, probably 8 weeks. Give him through the bye week and then come out. You've got a perfect rest of your season there. You got 4 games after the bye week, and then maybe you got 3 games in the playoffs, including the Super Bowl. It's Brock Purdy time, right? You've given him, at least if you're the Niners. I mean, because there's a lot of people that would hold the Niners' feet to the fire and say they really effed up by playing him against Jacksonville. Whatever. You can, whether it was he decided to do it or they decided to do it, whatever. It was a setback. Now let's not have another setback. Let's give it more than enough time. And then if he gets hurt, it's nobody's fault. It was in the cards.
Right,
but football. Don't make yourself part of the discussion by forcing this guy onto the field in the middle of the year after 4 weeks, after 5 weeks. And when the doctors are saying it is a 2 to 6 week thing, that if you really want to nip it in the bud, give it eight. I mean, Jesus, give it 8.
Well, how about this? To me, where the disconnect is here is Brock Purdy needs a lawn chair and a pina colada more than he needs a limited practice. Get him off his feet. Like, God bless my wife, Jillian. She's been working so hard. She just came out of Dreamforce. She's crushing it. And she's like, I need to take a couple days off. I'm like, you absolutely do. And then in her days off, she will fill up her days off with more shit to do in her day off than she would have done if she had gone into work. And I'm like, you didn't really have a day off. You made yourself busier. Do you even know how to take a day off? Let me show you how you take a day off. This is a bowl. Here's a little weed. This is PlayStation 5. This is a couch. This is what you're doing for 24 hours. That's a day off. Day off. Seriously.
So that's what you do to your wife on her day off? Get her addicted to narcotics and video games?
I'm a loving
husband. Honey, come over here.
But seriously, do you even know how to put your feet up and take a day off? I'm an expert. Let me show you the way. And I just think that Brock and these limited practices are working against him more than they're helping him to get back on the field. Just sit him down. Sit him down for a whole week.
That's my thought on it too, but I don't know. I get it, dude. I agree. I totally agree with you. I mean, the doctor that I talked to said, hey, you got to stay off it for about 6 weeks. Stay off it does not mean light practicing, you know, but I understand Brock's desire to be in the foxhole with his guys.
It's great.
Kubiak said it yesterday, Damon. He's like, yes, Brock is very frustrated. Yeah, he is. I know him well enough to know that he is enormously frustrated by this. He is a competitor. This guy doesn't jake it. This guy wants to, he understands the dynamics, Damon. He understands that he signed a big contract and that everybody's looking to him to lead the team, and he's ready and willing and wanting to do it. And now he's got this injury and it's nagging, but it's significant. It affects his arm strength. It affects his accuracy. It affects his escapability. It affects his ability to protect himself. It's all tied up in this toe injury that just won't quite heal. And all I would say is what games do you want Brock Purdy to be there? I mean, here's the question. And people have banged on me because I've been pro Mac Jones. I like Mac Jones.
You've been great.
What more really good
you want? What more could you possibly want? I'm going to say this without reservation right now. If we're sitting around one day and cobbling together, what are the greatest backup performances you've seen? This feels like it's going to join the conversation.
He's good. He's a good quarterback. I like Mac Jones.
He saved the season's bacon. The whole this guy is your Len Eshman Award winner, MVP of the 49ers season.
But I still think Brock Purdy is a better quarterback. I really do. And I think he's a better quarterback for his when he's fully capable, when he can escape. And right now he can't. The Purdy that I saw in July throwing deep balls down the field to Watkins, that guy absolutely can say, come on, jump on my shoulders and let's go to win a Super Bowl. So I believe in Brock Purdy and I believe he can win the Super Bowl. I want to see him healthy in the playoffs. The rest of this, the Niners have a good record. The Niners remind me right now, Damon, a little bit of the Warriors. Does it matter if the Warriors are the 5 seed, the 6 seed, the 8 seed? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. They can win out of any seed, and the Niners can win out of any seed. You don't know who's going to be the one, who the matchup's going to be. You're going to have to play a game or two on the road, whatever.
I mean, as long as the Warriors don't run into Ryan Rollins in the playoffs, they should be all right. What the hell was that? Dude, how do you lose to a Giannis-less Milwaukee team? Not good. Okay.
Let Ryan Rollins go for 32. He's a nice kid. I couldn't believe he got involved in that theft situation a couple years ago, but he's a good kid. I interviewed him in studio a couple years ago when I was filling in on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we were, I think you and I did that show together, actually.
With Ryan Rollins and Patrick Baldwin?
In studio, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys were great guys.
They were.
Yeah. Where were we?
I'm sure we were talking about the 49ers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, all I would say is, you know, Mac Jones is a good quarterback. I think Brock Purdy's a better quarterback, and I want Brock Purdy to be healthy for when it matters, which is the playoffs. If you were 2-6 or whatever and you needed to win games and you thought you couldn't win games with Mac Jones and you had to go back to Brock Purdy, it'd be one thing. But you got a quarterback that is probably comparable in some ways and is winning games and looking good. Just let it happen. Just get your rest. But Brock's so competitive. He wants to get back in there. He knows how this looks really bad, that he got all this money and he's sitting out with this toe injury. And he understands the optics and he wants to get in there and he's frustrated as hell. But all I would say to him is, Brock, take a deep breath. Let your body heal. Let Mac do this. And we'll go to the playoffs. In whatever seed we get there, we need you healthy. And if I was Shanahan, I would say, I'm not playing this guy before the bye week. I'm just not. I'll play him after the bye week. There's 4 games there. That's plenty of time to get him in rhythm. That's plenty of time to get him rolling. That should be their plan. Don't have another setback. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, I got to be honest, Damon. I love John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, but they say some of the dumbest things I've ever heard. They were asked this week. Both guys were asked, does playing Brock, does the MetLife turf in any way, which I know I just said it was replaced, but it's still a hard AstroTurf surface over cement. Will it impact your guys' decision in any way to play Brock? Both guys are like, no. Do you realize that if the 49ers played Brock Purdy this week against the Giants on that turf and he suffered a significant relapse and was done for the year, that the Niner fans, whether Lynch and Shanahan like it or not, would blame them for negligence and bringing him back on that surface?
That's optics that you'd need to worry about. What I would tell Brock is, you have a contract. See how significant your contract is? That contract blinds any discussion of optics. The optic that you need to be worried about is getting healthy and playing again. That's it. You don't need to be cavalry riding in earlier than expected because we're not there in the year yet. You know, if this Giants game were the must win to get into the playoffs, then you know what? MetLife turf be damned. We ain't afraid of football fields. Go play.
But run the ball. I mean, I could be the quarterback. Hand the ball off. Run 40 freaking times. This is the worst run defense in football. Do we need to have a refresher course here? This is what happened to the Giants last week against Philadelphia. Saquon Barkley, 14 carries for 150 yards. He went for 10-7 a carry. Oh, but he got hurt. So they brought in Tank Bigsby, and Tank Bigsby had 9 carries for 104 yards. That's 11-6 a carry. They have it. Their run defense is an absolute joke.
This should be the
run the ball and win this game big. If the Niners lose this game and don't run the ball big, then they need to have some lineup changes on the offensive line.
This should be
McCaffrey is done. Something is really amiss if they don't run for big yards in this game.
Should be a Raheem Mostert NFC title game playoff game plan. Just run. Oh, you don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball. That's what I'm seeing. No. When shit is working this well on the ground, why go away from it? What I loved about that game is the Niners were like, oh, we got something that's working. Let's keep doing it. It feels like, and again, here's my Kyle criticism of the show. It feels like the minute they got something that's working, they try to find something else that's also working. No, just stick with what's working. And hopefully that is a whole lot of Christian McCaffrey on the ground. Get Brian Robinson Jr. involved. Garendo, I don't give a shit. Run the ball. You're right, Larry. We got supers. Larry, while you're calling some supers up, getting the Habas thing up, let me just tell everyone thank you for being here this Halloween. Like and subscribe if you could on both channels, Damon Bruce Plus and The Krug Show. It is great having you here. We will be back, of course, first thing, 9 a.m. West Coast time Monday morning with a recap of whatever happened in New York. Make wake up your 49er content habits on Fridays and on Mondays here on our channels. All right. Let's go.
We're going to get to our Habas Law supers here. Today's show is sponsored by Habas Law for more than 40 years. Omar Habas and his son Tarek have been standing up for people in Northern California. They're relentless PI attorneys. They don't back down. So they're outstanding. They're rooted right here in the community. They're good people. So if you need someone in your corner, call the law firm insurance companies. Hope you never call, because they break insurance companies, and that's Habas Law. They will fight to make it right. Visit them on the website, habaslaw.com, HABBASlaw.com. 1-800-INJURED is their number. And we also should tell you that Habas Law is sponsoring the San Jose State Hawaii game, and we have tickets to give away. So if you'd like to go on November 1st to see Hawaii and San Jose State,
which is tomorrow,
we have tickets available to that game. It's at the CEFCU Stadium, which is, I believe, Spartan Stadium there in the South Bay. Habas Law is the presenting sponsor of the game. And since they're a sponsor of the Krug Show, we have tickets to give away, and the link's in the description. You just fill out the little form in the description, and we got plenty of tickets still available. So thanks to Habas Law for being a proud sponsor of the Krug Show and for sponsoring San Jose State. As I said, they're rooted right here in the community, Habas Law, and we have tickets if you want to go to San Jose State, Hawaii. If you're here in Northern California, check it out. We have those tickets and the links in the description. All right, let's go and do some supers here. Joseph Ernberg in the house said, suggested Damon chick magnet costume.
Girlfriend said no. Yeah, girlfriends usually don't like that. It's easier to get away with that one when you're a single guy. Larry, I had a last-minute Halloween costume that I had to, you know, it was a college party. Of course, I didn't think about it until 5 minutes before it started. All right, you got to wear a costume. I opened up, like, a bunch of Playboys and Maxim magazines. I cut out a whole bunch of centerfolds. I stapled them to a black T-shirt, and I just called myself a chick magnet.
So, of course, I'm very practical in the Halloween costume deal. So my boys, when we were living together, you know, back in college, all of my fraternity brothers, they'd be like, Krug, you know, what are we gonna do for Halloween? You know, we got to do something. We got a big party to go to and this and that. I'm like, well, what do you want to wear? How about that? Why don't we start with what we want to wear? What do we want to wear? I'm not gonna walk around in some spandex thing all night acting like I'm an idiot. I go, what do you want to wear? You want to wear jeans, right? You want to wear boots or tennis shoes. You probably want to wear a T-shirt or a polo shirt, right? That's what you want to wear, right? And the guy's like, yeah, that's what we want to wear. I'm like, good, that's what we'll wear. So I go down to Caltrans and I say, hey, if I put my credit card down, can you give me some vests and some hard hats? They said, yeah, sure. So I got 6 vests, 6 hard hats. And I told my guys, I'm like, just wear whatever the hell you want to wear. And just put this hard hat and this vest on. We'll go as Caltrans workers. And they're like, oh, awesome. So that to me, now, you know, that's not painting your face. That's not, you know, blood down your lip or, you know, but it worked.
There you go. Just, you know, something a little clever, something to, you know, if you have to explain your Halloween costume, it's really not working. You know, I should be able to look at it and go, ha ha.
You know what's a crack up? Is the if when you work in a place and, you know, maybe it's a bank or some conservative place, and, you know, Joyce is very, very conservative. She, you know, she wears a very conservative dress. She doesn't show a lot of skin. But on Halloween, and she dresses up as the naughty nurse with the puppies in the window. Why? There's a lot of women who use Halloween as once a year.
Let it go.
It's not me. It's the costume.
Let it go.
That's all right, Joyce.
Yeah, sure.
And Joyce, by the way, for those who want to know, is a fictional character. James Foster. I'm very confident the 49ers get another interception this week. Back-to-back weeks? James, I don't know if we can handle the excitement.
Really? You know, here's the thing. They better be able to take advantage of Jackson Dart's inexperience. They seriously. This is Robert Saleh. Go confuse that kid.
Don't let that guy run around on third down and kill you. Thomas Selman, I'm excited. Klee Missile is back. We won a state championship together in Virginia at Benedictine. Hated blocking him in practice. Klee's a good dude, man. And I'll tell you, he looked great in practice this week. He really did.
I think
Klee's going to hit the ground running, Damon. I actually think he might make some plays in this game. He looked really good this week at practice.
You know what? I hope Nick Martin, I hope Nick Martin is allowed to make some games. Are we going to see his defensive cherry pop this weekend or what?
Did you hear my question to Robert Saleh about him?
No, I didn't.
I don't think I have it. I told Kevin to get it, but Kev's busy these days. I asked Robert Saleh just the question, right? I'm like, Robert, took this guy in the third round. I go, are you disappointed with him? Is Johnny disappointed with him? Is the organization disappointed with him? How come your third round draft choice can't get on the field behind special teamers like Curtis Robinson and Luke Gifford? And I'll give Robert Saleh credit, man. Robert Saleh is a straight up dude. That is about as tough a question as he's going to get.
Right.
And he gave me a long, thoughtful, real answer that was like, he's like, hey, look, here's our issue. He plays fast. He's super athletic. He's got a bright future. Nobody here is disappointed in him. But there are some finer points of our defense that he hasn't mastered yet. He really at first was playing behind Fred, who's obviously he's never going to beat out Fred. Right. And then Winters is playing at such a high level that he's not beating out Winters. And then it was about Gifford or Robinson. He's like, Gifford is our best special teams player. Literally, he's grading out as our best special teams player. So that's why. And this is a team that's trying, you know,
to get better on that.
Yeah, to get better on that. So you can't give that lip service, you know what I mean? So you got that going on. So there's a lot of things going on. So all I would say, all to Niner fans, pump your fucking brakes. I don't want to swear, but pump the fucking brakes on this Nick Martin sucks. Dude, you're going to look like a total jackass fool. And if people go back, nobody cares that much, but if people go back and look at your Twitter and they see you ripping Nick Martin when this guy's in his third Pro Bowl 3 years from now, you're going to look like a moron. So just don't do it. I'm giving you the advice. They're not disappointed in him. They really like him. It's got caught up in a numbers game behind some great players, now behind some special teamers. Let's just say this. I got the feeling his day is coming.
Good. I can't believe it hasn't already arrived. Let's see it.
Stefan, Damon's just get a win approach is compelling. I wouldn't mind that approach all the way through the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, win as many games as you can on the way to winning a Super Bowl. It's a theory I have.
You should write a book about it. Win every game. How to win the Super Bowl. Win all of the regular season games. And the last chapter is win in the playoffs.
Which is the name of the book is If You Don't Lose, You Can't Lose.
That sounds very... Oh, by the way, yesterday was the Tony Vitello press conference. Did you hear Buster Posey's absolute Silicon Valley phrase of all phrases?
Did he talk about...
You got to throw this one to Jillian later.
What did he say? He described
him and Tony Vitello. He's like, who's going to make out the lineup? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be Tony? Who's going to have? And he's like, you know, that's the great part. We can be think partners. He said that. We can be think partners.
Think partners.
Honey, we can be think partners. See how that goes over. See how that's just, I mean, fill in your joke here.
Here's the deal.
Think partners.
Is Tony Vitello going to be the breath of fresh air and a totally new approach that absolutely closes the gap between the competing for a World Series championship Dodgers and the Giants? Or is this Gabe Kapler in a better suit? I don't know. I don't know what. Here's the thing. We were told we were going to like him. And guess what? We do. I don't give a shit how much I like him. I don't know what he's going to. Anyone who wants to say this is a good hire or a bad hire right now is nuts. We have no idea. The Giants got a good personality in their dugout. Congratulations. Personalities don't hit baseballs.
I got a lot of thoughts on this. I got a lot of thoughts on this.
You're worried about Larry Bear coming up Second Street. Larry!
Get him off! Get him out of here!
You're back on time!
Shut him up before people start not buying tickets. if you had a heart attack and you had to have open heart surgery, do you want a guy who's been doing it for 20 years? Or do you want a guy who's never done it before?
Never even been in an operating room.
Never been in an operating room. But, man, he's got a really good line of BS.
I'm going to like him.
And he's gregarious. I got two guys. Your most significant person in your life is having a heart attack. I got two doctors. They're both ready to perform surgery. Over here's a guy's been doing it for 25 years. Over here's a guy's never done it before. But man, he's got good flow. He's got a good tan. He's
aura.
Gregarious.
Wait until you see the aura on this doctor who will give the single best toast at your funeral because you died on his operating table because he's never done it before. That's
you got Bochy standing by, but you say, nah. I'm going
why
over
do
here.
That? Why go back to one of the single most successful guys in the history of the sport who wins huge when you deal him the right cards?
I'm not saying it's a bad hire, but it's a risk.
It's a hire. That's all it is.
A risky hire.
It's a very how about this?
Big swing, dude.
In a sport that has zero firsts left in it available, this is a big first. All right, Barry.
I don't remember anybody ever saying, hey, hire Mark Marcus, you know, who hire Gus Gustafson or whatever. Gustafson. I mean, skip whatever. I mean, all these great college coaches. How come those guys never got any shots? But this guy, I don't know. We'll see. Seems like I talked to him. I did an interview with him in June or July. He seemed like he's a high energy guy. I just don't know if his line of BS is going to work.
Yeah. All I can tell you is that great personalities don't mean much in a major league clubhouse. It really doesn't. I mean, you want the clubhouse. Clubhouses matter. And of course, you know, managers set tones. And if this guy's got good energy to wake up the sleepy ass Giants, that's fine too. It's a total unknown. Good luck. All right, let's get back to these real quick.
Be all about baseball. I think that would be my advice to him. Be all about baseball, and it probably will work out.
By the way, do you think the Blue Jays offer us a game 7, or do they close it out tonight?
God, I'm hoping they close it tonight.
I do too.
God, say goodbye to the Dodgers. Barry Ford says, bang, bang from Memphis. Good morning, gents. Just tuned in. Great show as usual. Question, and I'm not sure if it's been brought up today, but who's the quarterback versus the Giants? Run the effing ball.
Yeah, it's Mac attack and attack with a ground game.
Run the freaking ball. At Big Tone, he says, you could win huge and lose to the Rams. It's the NFL.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Yeah,
but that Rams game will be at Levi's Stadium.
PR says, Larry, hope JJ plays better. Currently, too many mistakes from him along with drops. If you saw the JD video, who's JD? Is that John Dickinson?
John Dickinson.
Is it? JJ was supposed to chip Hunter and run a route for a big gain, but kept blocking for whatever reason.
Was it when they got the face mask?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to go look for that video.
I mean, look at it this way. Of all the things that Juwan Jennings has been criticized for, that, you know, the face mask happened. He meant to put his hand on the shoulder pad. It rose up. It got the face mask. That's the least of Juwan Jennings' problems as far as I'm
concerned. What pisses me off is that this guy's such a warrior. He's given the Niners and their fans. He's shown up in all the big moments, and people have the nerve to say that he's gambling on the sport and that his failures were.
I mean, who said that?
A bunch of people in the chats this week have been like, okay, he's intentionally dropping passes.
Yeah,
no. It's like, dude, sound like an idiot. Christian Ayala, is Jordan James still on this team? LOL, use him. Yeah, he's Jordan James, the rookie running back. He's got a perfect build, but we'll see.
Can't get healthy. Can't get snaps.
Well, I mean, and I don't know. I've been skeptical of that pick really since draft day. Mark,
hey, the Niners made two big reaches, right? They made two big reaches, and in those reaches, either player has yet to reach the field.
Well, what's amazing is that Mike Shanahan was the greatest drafter of running backs, and look at the running backs that Kyle's drafted. I mean, Trey Sermon, and I mean, the Niners, either Bobby, I think it's probably Bobby T, but is Bobby T losing his fastball as far as, who running backs he likes? I mean, it's just, they have not hit with, Ty Davis Price, I saw him at the LSU game the other day shooting T-shirts from a cannon into the stands. That was your third round pick from like 2 years ago. It's not good. Mark D'Ambra says, hey, $4.99 because I'm Mark D'Ambra, damn it.
Where do you go?
Leon Sandcastle. Is that a real name? Or is that a stage name?
I think it's a fictional Deion Sanders character, isn't it?
Okay. He says, JJ for Zeitler straight up. I do that. I do that right now. Zeitler's the guard the Niners need to run the ball. And JJ would be a hero in Tennessee. I mean, Cam Ward JJ would make beautiful music together. Mark D'Ambra, and JJ's not going to be signed, so why not? Mark D'Ambra says, Kyle and John were perhaps saving face about the field not being of concern. Behind closed doors, they're thinking, hell no, he's not playing on that crap. I bet you anything. I would bet anything that the league sent the Niners or probably everybody a note. Do not have public comments that are negative on other facilities, period, across the board. And I'm sure that's just one of many super controlling emails that came out of the league office. And I'm sure Lynch and Shanahan read their email and are basically falling in line. Anthony Catania in the house, and Anthony's a great sponsor of the show. Sharp Corners Sports Cards and Collectibles. Check them out. They're at 205 Cypress Avenue in Pacific Grove, California, along the Monterey Peninsula. The great Anthony Catania is at 831-521-5264, and he's a great follow on Instagram, at Sharp Corners 831 on the gram. And he chimes in. He says, great show, guys. Happy Halloween. Go Niners.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you very much.
Anthony. Have a great holiday. Drive safely. Don't run over those little goblins. PWS, will this series end tonight or tomorrow tonight?
Let's wrap it up. I mean, what I want is a nice final out while I'm at home, handing away Halloween candy, using the tube of treats, shooting beers to moms and dads who need them.
You're shooting beers?
Oh, absolutely.
Damon's address is
we have a big bucket of candy, and we got the cooler out there.
Are you going cans? Are you going to tap a keg? I mean, what are we going?
No, cans only.
You go keg. I'm coming. I'm bringing like nine friends.
No, we're not doing like ice luge shots. You know, it's not quite that involved.
Not quite that involved. All right.
Look at it. Say we got about a case of Modelo cans ready to go for 24 concerned parents who come through. You see some of these parents come through. You can tell they're in hour number four of trick-or-treating. They need a beer.
I'm telling you, man, back in the 70s, all, you know, mom and dad just walked around with us. They didn't walk around, you know, drinking a bottle of Chablis.
Well, this
now everybody's like on a pub. It's like a, I mean, seriously, you can hear the parents laughing and the moms cackling and all the, from five houses away. It used to be like the Halloween sound was little kids excited running and, you know, maybe somebody tripped or something. There's a baby or whatever. But I mean, now it's like moms in their 30s and 40s at five glasses of wine talking loud.
I'm going to tell you, have you been to the San Francisco Zoo anytime soon? That is maybe the biggest wine bar in the city. You got a whole bunch of moms half in the bag pushing around babies in strollers.
Right. Can I tell you my quick zoo story that my dad, I grew up in the Sunset. The zoo is in the Sunset. So we were season ticket holders to the zoo from 1972 on or whatever, right? So we went to the zoo basically we probably went to the zoo at least three times a month, Damon. At least. We went to the zoo a lot because it was great
to get the kids out of the house. We're members. We're at the zoo once every other month for sure.
I can smell it still. I mean, the smell of the zoo is very distinct. All right. So going to the zoo, my dad, we love the zoo so much. My dad, do you guys want to go to the zoo? Yes, we want to go to the zoo. Let's go. We're all fired up. We're going to the zoo. My dad couldn't get us out of the zoo. We wouldn't leave. So my dad, diabolical, the late George Krueger, used to tell us that at 3 o'clock, they let the lions out of the cages.
Smart.
Damon, we'd get to like 2:50. We would be running to the car. I mean, sprinting to the car. I was so young. I actually believed everything my dad told me. Sure. I thought the lions potentially were going to eat us. Now that's crossing the line of parenting that probably was okay in 1977. That today in 2025, that's probably parental cruelty.
Well, but you know, it's why you're not a total pussy today. So congratulations, Larry. Your father knew that iron sharpened iron. And the best way to get the most out of my kids is for them to think they could be a snack at 3:01.
Seriously, man. I seriously ran to that exit. I believed him. I just totally believe. JD
That's when you got to blame your sister for pooping your pants.
Right. Did you poop your pants, Larry? No, Kim did. JD says Johnny Dell video. I meant, about the play Baldy criticized where JJ was blocking Hunter. Yeah, he was on the outside of, he was not between Hunter and the quarterback. He was on the outside of Hunter. That was a damning video by Baldy. Mark Graves in the house. What's up, Mark? He says bottom of the pint tonight. We can wave bye bye LA. You know what? I would do bottom of the pint tonight, but I haven't been able to catch up with Lund in a few weeks.
Texted Lund 2 weeks in a row and haven't heard back from him. I've been looking at his channel. He hasn't been posting stuff. Is Lund on vacation or something right
know.
Now?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I think he's doing some other things. I know he's looking for different things. I'm not really sure. I don't want to speak on it, but so I will reach out to Johnny, but I'm on KMBR tonight. I'm back where it all began tonight. I'm doing Niners Nightly from 6 to 7. I'm doing Sports Phone tonight from 7 to 9 because all their hosts have kids and are little. And I said, Mike asked me if I'd fill in. I said, sure, I'll fill in. So we're going to talk about Tony Vitello. I'm going to play a bunch of those cuts. I'm going to give you my thoughts on Tony Vitello. Marty's going to stop by. Kerry Crowley's going to be by. Ned Coletti's going to be by. So it should be a great couple hours for Giants talk between 7 and 9. And if we go to 10, hey, what can I say? I'm an overachiever. We got this one. Tobin Ernst. Damon will drop a beer bong down to the parents.
Just here to help.
Awesome.
Just here to help.
You would be like the king of your neighborhood if all of a sudden you had people bonging beers in your driveway. I mean, that would be something. They could put it as a video, put it on a loop at the Dubliner, and just every time people walk in, they just see you. You know, partying on your lawn. I mean, that it could do great things for the channel, Damon. Dream the dream.
What we need to do is get all these kids out of Halloween and just turn it into a parents' brouhaha. No, hey, thank you very, very much for
naughty nurse.
who was here watching today. We really, really do appreciate it. And like and subscribe. We're back at it on Monday, hopefully talking about a run to victory for the 49ers. This is a winnable game. Last week, I had my doubts. This week, they better go handle their business. This is a handle business weekend for the 49ers. And like you said, Larry, if they're going to be what we hope they might be, we'll see a little of it this weekend just in terms of you were good enough to handle your business against an objectively bad 2-6, just lost their key piece to their offense. The two key pieces to their offense are both gone. Got a rookie quarterback starting his sixth ever game. Keon White, welcome to the 49ers. Let's see what you got, kid. Go get him.
Nobody's quite as positive as Dave Lombardi. And Lombardi has tweeted out, the 49ers have enjoyed dramatic improvement on both lines this week. That's the story of the past few days. Keon White, Clee Farrell, both added to the D-line. Yetur Gross-Matos has returned there. And Sam Oh, Jordan Elliott, and Alfred Collins all avoided major injuries in Houston. And then he goes, Ben Bartsch, Spencer Burford are both back on the offensive line, where the clear weakness has been at left guard. Significantly different situation entering this game than the last one. And it just so happens to have evolved like this right before the trade deadline. So there you go. Dave's thinking positive thoughts, thinking that the offensive line is going to be good this week. We'll see.
How about this?
We shall see.
I think the factor there really might even not even be in an improving Niners offensive line as much as it is. This is a much different defense than what you saw last week in Texans. You know, styles make fights, and the style of football that you weren't able to play against Houston last week is a style of football you should be able to play this week. So Christian McCaffrey, if he has his other worst half of his career this week, then like you said, we can maybe talk about selling off somebody next week because shit ain't working. But let's see. I like the chances, Larry. They win.
Yeah. I like the Niners to win this game as well. I'm going to say 49ers 28, and I'm going to say 28-13. 28-13, two field goals and one touchdown for the Giants, 28 for the 49ers. If the Niners lose this game, 28-13, Monday's show is going to have lots of F-bombs. If they win this game 28-13, I'll be saying, I told you so, I told you so, and then you'll decide you don't like the channel because you don't want people telling you that, you know, I told you so. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. I've got one last final thought. Damon, do you have one last thought before I scream what I'm going to scream?
No, I don't. No final thoughts here other than Sam Batesh joins me at about 11:15, Sammy's going to come on by. We're going to have a little fun there, not only through the Niners and Giants, but we're going to talk about the rest of how Week 9 sets up. It's a kind of an interesting week around the NFL. So that's coming up in just a moment on my channel. I know you got Chase Sr. coming up. So, Larry, your final thought is?
Join me in 3 minutes for Chase Sr. God bless you, you naughty nurses. Trick or treat. And run the effing ball!